This episode brought to you by
Audible.
Audibletrial.com/horror version for 30 days free and a book to get you started for your book recommendation. Mikey?
I'm going
to
give you that timeless love story between Edward and Bella and the wolf.
Well, actually, Mikey, New Moon is the book that we should be recommending because that's when the werewolves come in.
Is it?
Is that a sexual way or like a normal?
I mean, they're irresistibly dreamy. It's a whole love triangle thing.
Did you read all the books?
I did read all the books in a week.
Oh, wow.
I think I may have taken a day off work to read them.
Wow.
What?
So, guys, check out New Moon.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
Audible.
Or Twilight, or Eclipse, or Breaking Dawn, or read Harry Potter.
This episode also brought to you by Nick B.
Hey, Nick B.
Fun fact about Nick B. Yeah? He's scared to ride the tube over in England.
Oh, yeah?
Why is that?
He's afraid of enclosed spaces.
Oh, yeah?
And
I get
wolves
that.
Inside them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would be too.
Is it just a regular wolf or is it a werewolf?
Oh, I mean, both are pretty scary.
I would be scared of both. That's fair, yeah.
I'd be more scared of a wolf because it's real.
This episode also brought to you by John.
Hey, John.
Unfun fact about John. Somebody wrote in, said that John...
Somebody.
Was it Noah?
It was Noah, definitely.
Anonymously.
He's had hair lice twice.
What?
Man, hair, you can't always help that.
That's true. You just have shitty friends, really, is all that means.
John has city friends.
Well, that, city friends?
City friends. He's got city friends and they're hanging out with people. You can't control that. You're on a tour with a mate and you get some junk in your hair and then you're walking around sharing it with your friends.
What accent's going on here? You said the word mate.
Australian? I don't know. I can't do accents.
I think you got self-conscious.
John, wash your hair. You animal. No, not Noah. Someone told us, not Noah.
Definitely wasn't Noah.
Yeah, definitely wasn't Noah.
It was definitely not an ex who caught lice from him.
That wasn't lice. This episode also brought to you by
Rebecca.
You ready, Rebecca?
Are we
ready? First I will say she has an Etsy store.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, she makes
straight on till Disney.
Yeah, check it out, guys. She makes Disney ears.
Disney ears.
Why do you
so you
say
don't
it
get
like
those
that? No.
Disney
oh.
ears.
Oh.
You made it up.
Catchphrase.
Oh my God.
Catchphrase.
Mikey can't even remember the shit he made up last week.
Yeah. Try dating me.
No.
No, thank you.
Mikey, hit me with your
pickup line.
All right, Rebecca. Did you swallow magnets?
Oh, geez.
Oh my God.
I don't know about that.
Because you're attractive.
That surprisingly did not go where I thought it would. And making it appropriate. And I appreciate that.
I'll allow it, I guess.
This episode also brought to you by
Matthew. Hey, Matthew.
Matthew rescued a puppy. He found it in a gutter. It had no arms and legs.
No.
No, it's okay.
It was like a puppy worm from House 2.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was the puppy worm from House 2.
Then Matthew got on his computer. And invented prosthetic legs for puppies.
Oh,
what?
Yeah. Matthew,
that is
you're
adorable.
A hero.
Mm-hmm. Matthew,
aww.
From every wheelchaired puppy out there, we say...
We salute you.
Thank you.
Roll out.
Roll out. Oh, my God. Auto dog, transform. That's Terminator.
I love it.
I know. It's awesome.
This episode also brought to you by...
Carl. Hey, Carl.
How you doing, Carl?
How are you doing, Carl?
I have a legit fun fact about Carl.
You mean all of our fun facts aren't legit?
Some of them may be embellished.
No.
Are you saying Noah is not trustworthy?
Carl was driving with his dad through, I think, California, and they got pulled over because they got tagged speeding by an airplane.
What?
They have, like, planes, like drones that fly over the interstates now, and they tag you speeding, and then they just send a cop to come get you.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. Sorry about your luck, Carl's dad.
It's not luck. You shouldn't have been breaking the law.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Hey, next time you see a plane, just speed off in another direction.
That is true.
Sorry for your luck, Carl. That sucks. We're sorry.
Yes, we are very sorry. And if you guys want your very own weekly Patreon shout out, go to patreon.com/horrorvirgin.
Yeah.
And check out the perks we got.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll do whatever for you.
But for now, But for now, we're going to bring in that theme music.
I think we should.
don't think I could have a threesome now.
I've just grown too much.
I mean, are you turning those opportunities down?
Yes. I'm sorry. The pause between, yeah, it was too fucking funny. I'm sorry.
Welcome to the Horror Virgin, everybody.
Oh, my God.
I'm Jen.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm your Horror Virgin, Todd, which means I don't like horror movies, and you guys make me watch them, and then we discuss.
Yeah.
This week, we watched An American Werewolf in London.
We did, yes.
The 1981 Werewolf Classic. So have you guys seen this movie before?
I thought I did as a kid, but I didn't really remember any of it.
Well, that makes sense.
You were... Yeah.
It was like a brand new movie.
I thought you told me that this was one of your favorite movies.
No.
This seems like a movie that would be one of your favorite movies.
Yeah, because there's a lot of swing and dong in it.
Werewolf movies just are never anything I really seek out. So I don't know. This was not ever really on my radar. I knew of it, but I was never seeking it out. And I actually watched it so I could listen to a podcast that was going to talk about it a couple of years ago. So that was the first time I'd seen it, and I liked it.
This is the first time I watched this movie, and I didn't hate it. There were a lot of jump scares that got me, though.
Yeah, it was scarier than I remembered it being the first time I watched it.
Well, yeah. There wasn't a first time for me. This was the first time for me.
Yeah. You actually told me you watched it as a kid, and I believed you because this seems like an arachnophobia kind of movie, you know?
This is way scarier than arachnophobia, although arachnophobia is like eeky. Like,
I think arachnophobia broke Mikey.
Yeah. Arachnophobia is more like creepy. This is more jump scary.
Yeah.
I did not think this was very scary.
All right.
Well, save it for the scary scale, guys.
Okay. Yeah. I like the film. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I thought it was entertaining and pretty funny.
Yeah.
And interesting, but it wasn't scary.
Ooh, disagree.
I thought there were parts that were scary.
The jump scares really got me, man.
I just like the love story.
You would like this, specifically this love story.
Yeah, because you talked about that girl like I talk about Josh Hartnett in every episode we do with
his
movie.
She's a good nurse.
Yeah, man.
I didn't like the ending, so it kind of rubs the rest of the film the wrong way for me.
Yeah, just like he did that nurse.
She didn't like the ending either.
It was just an abrupt ending.
It was
that's
for her,
too. That's what she said, yeah.
This movie is a metaphor for relationships with
that's
me.
That's what she said?
I know.
I love it. I was really impressed with the special effects.
Yeah.
They were awesome. When you said this was from 1981, I was like, this is going to be a shitty looking werewolf movie.
Yeah.
And it looked great.
Well, I've got some fun facts about that because that's actually what this movie is known for.
Yeah.
I thought the whole wolf creature was going to look really lame.
Me too.
But it was super cool.
Dude, that scene when it's walking up on the guy in the escalator, or at the very end when it's running around.
Oh, you mean when it causes a car accident that kills 100 people?
It causes like 50 car accidents.
Yeah, it's like the end of Blues Brothers and Piccadilly Circus.
Except that people die all the time.
Well, John Landis directed Blues Brothers too.
Oh my God. He just loves car crashes. It goes all the way to the top. All right, well, let's just get into this fucking movie and talk about it.
Let's do it. Okay, so we start with Blue Moon, which I like, playing over scenery of the moors.
It is the most boring credits ever. It is 2 minutes of Blue Moon while you read people's names.
Were you sad because no words exploded?
Yes.
Did you have any words that exploded or any noun names?
That would have been better, Jen.
Todd and I were watching it and then talking to each other. We're like, this is really boring. And then Jen's like, I like the song.
And that's what I said. And because I agree. I do like the song.
I was like, it could have been a black screen playing the song with the same effect.
No, because I like the images of the moors, too. I wish I were there.
What happens after the extremely boring credits, Jen?
We see a sheep truck.
Ooh, yes. And we see two Americans,
David and Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, David of the red jacket and Jack of the olive green jacket.
Yes.
Fun fact, they kept both of those puffer jackets after the movie was over.
That is a fun fact. Thank you, Jen.
Guys, there's a commentary about this, and I read like three summaries of the commentary, so I know so many minute things that nobody cares about. Anyways.
So they get out of the truck, they're talking to the truck driver, who's pretty much just like a farmer guy, more or less, and then he's like, don't go to the moors, and they're like, alright, and he's like, stick to the road.
Yeah. Governor?
Yeah, and he's like, you know, pip pip cheerio, I gotta fuck these sheep, and so they leave.
We need a pip pip cheerio counter for how many times we say pip pip cheerio.
Guys, at home, if I say pip pip cheerio, drink.
So, sheep man is telling them stay to the road.
He doesn't do any of that sound, though. He just says stay to the road, don't fuck off into the moors, pip pip cheerio, I'm leaving.
Say don't fuck off into the moors.
Yeah, don't go into the moors.
All right, anyway.
I mean, listen, I was just in England and they say shit like that.
Did they tell you not to fuck off into the moors?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So they walk on down the road.
And they're on the road. Yeah,
they stay on the road.
At first they have a, you know, the guy in the green jacket's like, this vacation sucks.
Yeah, he wants to go to Italy.
Yeah, I would want to go to Italy too. I would want to go to like London or someplace that's not just open expanses of nothing.
Like in the Mississippi of England.
I would want to go to the moors.
Why?
Because it's spooky. You stick to the roads and you're fine.
In the moors is where you find the black shuck, and you don't want that.
What's
shit?
What's a black shuck?
Black shuck! It's a ghost dog, more or less. Ooh. That haunts.
Forrest Whitaker?
No, but it does have a lazy eye.
Got an eye full of sunscreen.
All dozen people have seen that movie. They're laughing so hard.
Yeah, it's so good. So they're walking through the moors, right? And then they come upon a town.
Well, he's talking about this girl that he wants to meet there and saying he has to make love to her. She has no choice.
We've been friends since the 8th. Oh, he does say that.
Yeah, I quoted it in my notes because I was taken aback.
I mean, she does decide not to have sex with him every time he tries.
That's true.
So she has agency.
And I really don't think he's being creepy. I think this is one of the instances of an 80s movie not aging so well.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. And I like his character in the movie. I don't think he's a bad guy. I just think we just talked about this stuff differently back then, and I'm glad we don't talk about it like that anymore. So yeah, you always have a choice, ladies. All right, so now they get to a small village. So they go up to a pub and
the
slaughtered lamb.
Ooh.
It's fancier that way.
But I guess sign is not a lamb.
It's not.
A slaughtered werewolf. They walk in this place and there's only like four buildings in the whole like village. And everyone who lives there has to be in this building at this point. Because there's like 20 people in there.
This village sucks because it's like 19.
Jesus.
There's like 19 dudes who are pretty rude.
Oh yeah. And there's one woman in the entire town who is real tired.
But because she's working. Everybody else is just relaxing. I bet all the women are at home like cleaning
the
house.
She's serving all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but for money.
Yeah. I don't mean like sexually.
Yeah.
But no. So the pub sucks real bad.
I thought it was kind of cool at first. It seemed like that's where everyone in town went after work to hang out. And it seemed like a fun place until two douchey Americans came and fucking ruined it.
And then they were like, hey guys, you mind if we like hang out at your pub? And then like the bartender came and they're like, do you have something to eat? And she's like, no, what? Loser?
Yeah. We only have alcohol.
Yeah. Alcohol and like tea. Well, we don't have any tea, but we can make you tea.
And she's like, and they're like, well, can you make us some tea?
No.
She did. Yeah, I think she agrees to make him some.
After that, the townspeople try to like include them. Like he tried to tell a big joke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is oddly problematic.
I mean, in the Battle of the Alamo, it was the Texans versus the Mexicans.
Did they have airplanes in the Battle of the Alamo?
I don't think that's part of the joke.
That is. They're throwing people out of airplanes.
Yeah, but that's not why the joke is fun.
The joke is funny because of racism.
Texans. Right.
So they're laughing at the joke or whatever. And then Jack is like, hey, I realize we're all bonding and stuff, but why is that pentagram on the wall?
Yeah, no, in the middle of all of the laughing, he yells, what's up with the pentagram? Just totally killing the mood.
You know how to, I was about to say, you know, to kill a vibe real quick?
Exactly.
Yeah, call out their Satan worshiper shit.
Right.
No, I just think he wasn't subtle. There's like a couple candles around. And I think you could have like laughed at the joke and been like, racism. Hey, what's up with like those candles on the wall? Like, what is that? That looks pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. You ease into it. You back into the pentagram. You start with the candles.
Yeah.
And you back into what is that? It's like two triangles. It's like having sex and they got stuck. Why is it? What is that?
It's a pentangle, we learn, which is just like a star.
Why do they call it a pentangle?
Because that's technically what it's called. Like a triangle is three angles. A pentangle is five angles.
But it's not a pentagram?
I think a pentagram has a circle around it, but I could be wrong about that.
Oh, well, actually, Todd,
I honestly don't know. Like, that's fair. Yeah. I honestly don't know the answer to that.
Listeners, if you like to draw pentagrams and you want to tell us about it.
I'm sure some people out there would know the answer to that. Yeah. For sure.
Because pentagrams and pentangles are not inherently evil. They just often are used in occult rituals. So if you know what a pentagram is, let us know and we will not assume that you're evil because of it.
Anyway, so they immediately stop laughing and having a good time, and they pretty much say, hey, fuck off out of here, mate.
Yeah, you made me miss my darts.
Yeah,
I never missed my darts ever before, even when I was a wee lad.
I wish that wasn't the dialogue, but it is.
But it pretty
and you
much
can't
is.
Control that, Mikey.
And the guy, the guy's like, why did you make me miss my dartboard? All because he asked about the pentagram, and he gets all pissy.
Yeah. He's just mad because he missed his darts.
It's almost like he's been tortured by this werewolf thing since he was a child.
A wee
and
lad.
He's sick of... yeah, a wee lad. And he's sick of keeping this secret.
Yeah.
And it's just really eating at him, no pun intended. So anyway, both Jack and David decide it's time to leave.
Exactly.
And it's raining outside.
Because if he missed the dartboard now, who's he going to throw those darts at?
Oh, yeah.
Next?
You never know what badness can happen.
Were they going camping? Like, what is the...
They're backpacking.
Yeah. They were backpacking.
Didn't you see the backpacks?
But no, they leave the pub and they say, I wonder if there's like an inn around here somewhere. Let's just walk down the road and see if we can find a place to stay for the night.
Very poor planning.
Yeah, listeners, this is why you have a map and you plan ahead and you look at your calendar. I'm just finding it ironic that Mikey is the one that's judging their planning skills. Yeah, it is. So he has said that the pentangle is a mark of the Wolfman. So we know that.
Oh, yeah. One of the main characters saw the Wolfman movie and it was in it.
And then Acne Man, Acne Dartface is trying.
That can't be his name. Oh, okay.
James Edward Almost.
Edward James Almost.
Whatever.
Edward James Almost got his name right.
Woo, team chair.
Yeah.
All right. So Dartman is saying, you got to get out of here because I missed. And the woman now is saying, but you can't let them go, guys. So we know something bad is going to happen.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, no, you can't walk out the door. And there's this old man who wants to let them go because he doesn't want to get in the middle of the trouble because he knows what's about to go on. But the lady doesn't want to let them go and wants them just to be there and weird and messing up all the dart games because it's better than them just dying out there, you know, because she has a conscience.
So they fuck off out of the pub.
They do. But first they say, stay to the road, stay out of the moonlight.
So they piss off down the road to try and find an inn. And then they do the one thing they're told not to do while walking on the road, and that is walk off the road.
They didn't do it on purpose, Todd.
How do you get off the road and walk into the moors?
Their roads suck, man. They're like dirt roads.
Well, yeah, but they're still clearly roads.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
we saw them as they walked across one.
Start singing a song while you're walking, you know? Yeah. Like, you get off track.
Yeah.
I've gotten lost before.
That is not surprising.
So now that they're gone, the woman is saying to the men in the pub, she's saying, we can't let them go. And the old man's saying, should the world know our business? So we know something's going on.
Right.
And they're saying, is this murder if we let them go? Because they know what's going to happen. And we know because we've read the title of the movie called An American Werewolf in London, that there's a werewolf out there on those moors. And then they hear thunder and they hear...
Do you think she's everyone's mom? Like, this is like a beehive situation?
Yeah, the I do queen. Think so.
Yeah, she's
I
the mean, queen.
We don't see another woman in this town.
No, we do not.
But no, I don't think she's everyone's mom.
So they are hearing wolf noises.
Yeah, so now we're back on the road and it starts raining.
It starts raining real bad.
Well, we're not back on the road.
I mean, we're off the road.
Yeah.
Hey, it's raining. It's just raining. We're not on the road.
And I think one of the reasons they kind of lost their way is because it was raining and they were kind of walking over to try to get under shelter. And this is the part that did kind of creep me out in this movie. And this is my favorite part of the movie.
Was it because there was a ring of light that kept following them everywhere they went?
Was it the camera?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't notice that.
Didn't notice that?
Mm-mm.
Huh.
You always notice stuff like that. No, I noticed the creepy moors atmosphere. So we keep cutting back and forth between the inn and the road. Well, not the road.
Right.
Well,
what should have been the road if they had not been stupid.
Yeah.
Foggy, grassy place. It's not super scary.
I think it's pretty scary.
I think it's only scary once you have the ticking clock of a werewolf coming after them, Mike.
Yeah, because we have introduced that now.
Yes. We're hearing the sound of the werewolf and then they're walking and they hear it like, and it's definitely circling them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wasn't a super huge fan of the sound of the werewolf.
Oh, I thought it was cool.
No, yeah. I thought it was like, it sounded like someone who was stepping on the werewolf's tail every time. It was like, oh,
it's scary though.
So the sound of that werewolf is...
Oh. Preemptive fun fact.
Yeah. Do you want me to save it?
No. Say it now.
So the sound of the werewolf, fun fact, was actually a screaming wolf and an elephant played backwards. And so they edited the sound of it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And now I understand why it sounds like what Mikey just described.
I thought it sounded really cool, though. I liked it because you can tell it's not like an ordinary wolf sound, and you can hear it from the pub. So they're cutting back and forth between not on the road anymore and the pub. And town mom is saying, well, maybe they'll be safe in the rain. And she's feeling really guilty because they didn't tell him.
The orange slices are in the corner, everyone.
Yeah. And I forgot to give them the orange slices. What are they going to do for their snack now?
No Capri Suns. Thanks, Team Mom.
Capri Suns. Purple stuff.
Sunny D.
I hate Sunny D.
It's gross. It's like I hate orange juice with Tylenol mixed in it. So, but she's saying we have to go get them. We have to go get them because she's not only the town mom, she's the town conscience.
Yes.
But the old scared man doesn't want to.
No, he does not. Yeah. Because he knows what's out there. I would not go. Like if that was all of us in a bar and two people from another country walked in. This is starting to sound a little bit racist. So two strangers walk in, don't laugh at my jokes, and try and shame me for my decorating.
And make you miss your dart.
Yeah. And then they leave. If there's a werewolf out there, they're definitely dying. I am not going after them. It's that karma. Is on them.
Karma wolf.
All the pub really had to do is like put up a poster of Ozzy Osbourne next to that pentagram and we'd be fine.
Oh yeah. I'd have been like, cool. I like that band too. Yeah, listen, Iron Man's a great tune. I get it. Let's hit some more racist jokes.
Yeah, right?
I know. They would have just kept it coming.
This would have happened to us because we would have walked in this bar and I'd been like, I would like a beer. And they'd be like, welcome to this bar.
Yeah.
Todd wouldn't have said that, though.
I'd have been like, I want a pint of water.
No, I'd be like, I'll drink for us. Don't worry.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I'll double fist him. It's fine if this man doesn't want to go out there because he's right. There's a werewolf out there, so that's fine. But you need to tell those people, the two travelers, that there's a werewolf, even if they don't believe you. Or just say, hey, there's an animal out there that's dangerous. Like, don't go out there. Stay in here. Even though we think you're annoying and you're messing all our darts up, stay in here because it's dangerous outside. And then you don't have to feel guilty about it, man.
But that's not what happens. And
no,
then
it's
these
not.
Two dudes get attacked by a
werewolf.
Well, so first they're hearing the howls and it's starting to surround them.
Yeah,
and
circling them like Jaws.
Yeah, and David looks down and notices he's not on the road anymore and says, oops. And I've heard that in the trailer and I thought he was kind of being a dick about it, but I think now they're starting to get scared because they're going to go run back to the slaughtered lamb.
Okay, so they do get scared, but then as they're running back to the slaughtered lamb, David slips.
Yeah.
And then he looks at Jack and Jack looks back at him like, what are you doing? And he's like, aren't you going to help me? Up like he's just joking about
well, it's
it
because he carries most of the equipment
that
Jack's
is true.
Backpack is much smaller.
That is true. Jack could have left him and he didn't because Jack's a bro. But do you know what happens as soon as David gets up? Jack gets attacked and David's like, I love you, bye.
Yeah,
he runs away.
Yeah. He pieces out.
Todd said it would be him if I got attacked by a werewolf, he would just run away.
Dude, the second we heard growling circling us, I would have kicked you in the side of the leg and run.
You would have
never go to
Juno.
An Applebee's with me.
What is that? That mean
moms like me.
I need context.
What kind of
for
moms
this.
Are you meeting at Applebee's?
Aggressive ones.
Okay, so what you're thinking is werewolves are cougars?
Yes,
and that's a different game, baby. I will wingman you all day.
All right, so. Jack gets attacked by this wolf, and I like how they do this. He's laying on the ground, he's screaming, and the wolf is just like mauling into his neck.
And he's calling out to David. David, he's murdering me.
Yeah, help me, help me, help me. And David is just piecing out across the moor.
300 yards away.
Yeah. But he gets there, and then he realizes, oh shit, I gotta go back and help my friend. And he gets back there, and it's too late.
Which is a mistake.
Jack's dead, yeah. Yeah, because then he gets attacked.
Yeah.
But just in the nick of time, all of the conscience lady wore them all down, and so they're now all there to shoot the werewolf.
Yeah. David sort of wakes up in this stupor. Maybe not wakes up because he's just been attacked, but he looks over and there's like an old, naked, dead man next to him.
Yeah, with blood all over him.
You remember those days, Mikey?
Yeah.
Oh, gross. College.
Hey, man.
Am I right?
I did it for the gold pieces.
What?
Cut to London
waking
hospital.
Up in a hospital. Yeah. And there's a nurse checking his eyes. And Mikey immediately said, I got a crush on that nurse.
She had pretty eyes.
She did. She's actually pretty attractive.
Yeah.
And then the other nurse in here is like talking about this dude's dick and how she went and looked at it.
Not only that, she goes, I think he's Jewish.
Yeah.
I looked at his dick.
Yeah. She like brags about it.
And the doctor is walking in, overhearing this conversation. And the nurse, Alex, that I like, my Alex.
She would never do that.
She would never do that. She is like me at that Subway. She's
well, in all fairness, she does look at his dick later in the movie.
But true. Like, consensually.
That's fair.
And also, in fairness, as a nurse, that might be a believable part of your job.
It is, but you don't talk shit about that guy's dick.
So what you're saying is she has plausible deniability if ever questioned about sexual assault?
Although when you phrase it like, I took a peek, right? I think that kind of shoots your case in the foot.
It does.
Also, I think people that aren't Jewish get circumcised these days.
Well, that's the thing.
Too.
The doctor sneaks up behind them and he's like, the Yanks over there all circumcise their dicks.
Yeah. Do British people not do that?
I don't know, man.
Hey, listeners.
Nick B, do me a favor. Send me a picture.
Hey, also, Australian listeners, what's going on down there?
This segment brought to you by Dick B. I wish we could keep that joke.
I know, man. Why not? So we find out what the story is, though. He's been in this hospital for about 3 weeks.
Getting oogled by nurses.
I think it's ogled.
I've only ever read that word. Really?
I would have woke up from my coma and been like, I'm a grower.
Believe me, guys.
Let me tell you.
And one of those nurses was like, oh, I'll find out. And she does, Mikey.
No, okay, so he wakes up. So the doctor's like, hey, bro, you've been asleep for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
There's a guy from the American Embassy, Frank
Not
Oz.
Not just any guy, Frank Oz, voice of Miss Piggy.
So he's like, he's going to talk to you. He's from America.
And he looks evil.
So Frank Oz comes over and he's like, I need you to take a moment. Your friend's dead. No pause. No pause for a moment.
Yeah.
Collect yourself. Your friend's dead, murdered. You got attacked by a crazy person.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's dead now. We killed the murder suspect, but your friend's dead too.
It's a good thing you're lying down because your friend's dead.
Yeah. They use the subtlety of a hammer of a man who's been in a coma. And it's obviously he freaks out. And the only person who's nice to him in the room is Nurse Alex.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the doctor's like, get me some drugs to drug him. And Frank Oz is like looking at him like he's needy. You need to calm down. You need to calm down.
And then talk shit about him as he walks out of the room. Like, these American kids are never grateful for anything. Oh, and then does a Miss Piggy voice and a Kermit voice too.
Does he do Kermit too?
I don't know.
God damn, Frank Oz is a national treasure.
Mm-hmm. All right, but before he wakes up, we see like a point of view shot of someone running through the woods.
Yes,
and he's
naked.
Like running around. I don't think we see him naked just
Not yet.
But,
oh, that's
but
right.
We're
no,
going to
clothed.
Real
You're
soon.
Right. We see a lot of him naked in this movie.
We do.
Yeah,
80s style. There's a lot more nudity in this movie than
and it's 95%
John Landis movie. Yeah,
yeah, because there's only like one. You only see the nurse naked for like 2 seconds, and it's gone.
And the pornographic video.
Oh, shit. I wasn't thinking about that. Yeah, my bad.
That's background nudity.
Yeah.
Doesn't even count.
Is it usable, though?
For what?
I mean, what else do you use nudity for?
Art?
Yeah. You're a monster.
Michelangelo's David.
For my sculpting.
The human form is beautiful. How dare you shame it, Jim?
Yeah, I'm the weird one.
We got her. Mike.
Yeah, we got it.
We got her.
She's in the corner.
Lock it up, boys. Woo. All right. So, also, Frank Oz says, I've given the police permission to interview you already, so they'll be here to see
Which
you.
Which doesn't make any sense, because he's an adult, and he can give his own consent to interview
exactly.
I think it's because he's not a UK citizen, but I don't think they need the consulates or whatever Frank Oz was. I don't think they need their consent to interview a criminal suspect, even if they're
not
the victim.
I'm sorry, a
victim of a crime.
Like some, a material witness in a criminal investigation.
Yeah.
I think it's just that Frank Oz is a dick in this movie.
He absolutely is. I thought he would come back later because the character was so interesting.
You mean evil looking?
Yeah. Well, because he's like, fuck these people have been attacked in our comas.
Yeah, but more like, fuck these people have been attacked. My
yeah,
comas.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, like
his voice is
mustache.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see.
But he's Miss Piggy, so like, he's not going to have a normal voice.
And I do like Miss Piggy, although she is a little more aggressive than I think is necessary in a lot of cases. But we find out that he's been asleep for 3 weeks.
He has been.
A winky blinky.
Which is very convenient because the new full moon is coming soon.
It is.
To a porno theater near you.
This movie cracks me up because there's like so many porno posters in the background.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is there so many porno? Or an orgy all day. And I was like, what is going on? It's because in normal scenes of like conversation, it's just like porno posters.
It's because London is more sophisticated and more open with their sexuality.
I was just there, and Piccadilly Circus is not like porn theatered out. It's more like Times Square now.
And so now he's saying it wasn't a crazy lunatic killer. It was a wolf. And because he pretty much remembers. He's starting to remember what happened.
Absolutely. Yeah. But they're telling him, no, no, no. It was definitely a lunatic or crazy man or whatever.
You must be hysterical.
A crazy man is as strong as 10.
I think if this was me, if I woke up from a coma with scars all over me from an attack, and the last thing I remember is a naked old Englishman shot to death next to me, I might just assume that it wasn't a wolf.
Yeah.
If that was me in that situation, I would believe whatever was told to me.
I absolutely.
My best friend who I'm traveling the world with was murdered. And it was a traumatic event. I'm probably not remembering things correctly. It could be a crazy dude. Cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think if I remembered a wolf, I would think it was a wolf. Also, you got wolf claws all over you.
That is true. You got wolf claws on your chest and face that don't look like finger scratches.
Well, let's say it is a wolf. Let's say you remember it's a wolf and they don't know how your friend died. Who cares? I mean, like, what are you going to do? Like, you're like, oh, there was a big wolf that attacked us. Like,
you tell people.
There's no point.
They got to go find the wolf and kill it.
I'm just saying, if it was a regular wolf attack that killed your friend and you wake up in a hospital and you live, you're like mourning your friend, but like, you're not gonna be like, I'm going back to kill the wolf.
No, you wouldn't. You're like, this nurse is hot.
Yes,
smash.
Exactly.
So exactly what he does.
This ain't Moby Dick.
Yeah,
that wolf is his Ahab.
Yeah, exactly.
The doctor's the one who's Ahab.
Call
He's the one
Ishmael.
Who can't let it go.
The doctor is Sam Loomis.
That's true.
Yeah.
The whole scenes in the hospital is him being like, it's a wolf, and everybody being like, who cares?
Yeah. No, it's not. You're hysterical. You must be crazy.
But in the hospital scenes, it is more or less just like a meet cute with the cute nurse.
Yeah.
And a bunch of like them getting to know each other and us learning about like the nurse being really sweet and really great.
Right.
We see her with some kids and stuff. Mm. She does a great job with them. The Scotland Yard people are the worst.
I really kind of feel like they could have been taken out, although I did kind
Agreed.
Of appreciate
they had no
what did
function.
They do? They didn't do anything.
His head got cut off at the end.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. That's the whole payoff of all of their scenes.
It was kind of funny when he knocked over all the bedpans and everybody just Britishly stared at him.
I don't know that was funny.
So they are... The cops are interviewing him, and they said, like, two college students should have been able to fight off this old dude.
Yeah. Which is so weird. Like, you should have been able to kill the old man attacking you, two college American kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have been like, have some empathy.
That's weirdly judgy.
Yeah.
Well, and so this is when we see the dream of him. We see the point of view of him running, and then we start to see him running naked through the woods. And this is the first time we see some full frontal naked.
Yeah, the first time we see a dick.
Yeah, and then we see some deer also.
And then he wakes up from that dream.
He's not doing well in the hospital because they're not discharging him for some reason.
No, he's doing okay. He's on the bed. Like, he's not eating his food. He's just listening to music, just chilling out.
Has Jack come to visit him yet?
No.
No.
Okay. So, yeah, he's still doing fine then.
He falls in love first. So the nurse comes and is like, you need to... You need to eat your lunch. And he's like, I'm not going to eat my lunch. This kind of sucks. I'm listening to music. So she hops into bed with him.
He has to move a little bit.
Yeah. Part
move.
Of it moves.
If they sit down on the bed next to you, you make them get close.
Well, unless you have a catheter.
Gross.
Ooh, do you think he was packing cats?
No. He was laying on top of the sheet.
So she grabs his nose and he opens his mouth and she like sticks the food
in. Has that
in.
Ever worked?
He's playing along.
Yeah, he's playing along.
Oh, yeah. He just wants her to touch him.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So anyway.
But he's like right next to him, like staring at her the whole time with a kind of goofy,
weird.
Charming grin.
Yeah.
It's a little sweet. This
they're
is the cutest, I think, they're together in the movie.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not crazy about the rest of their romance, but this scene is cute.
I thought it was cute when he was having nightmares and she came to the room and read to him.
I thought that was super cute.
I thought that was super cute.
When
Absolutely.
She thought he was asleep and he was just checking a rack out.
He'd glance. We all glance.
Listen, it's a reaction.
Glance.
I mean, she was stretching.
It's evolutionary.
I do that to Natalie all the time.
You glance and it's not great. It's like you can't control it sometimes.
Yeah.
So she reads to him and he wakes up and is kind of staring at her. He does do the little glance, and I apologize.
She's definitely into him checking her out. She's okay with it.
Well, but before she's reading to him, the reason she's reading is because he's continuing to have these escalating dreams, and the next one he sees is him running through the woods. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's in his hospital bed, and she's right behind him, and then his face is evil and scares the shit out of you.
That was the first jump scare, and it's like, I was not prepared for it.
Yeah.
I guess it's not the first jump scare, because there was sort of like a jump scare with the initial attack.
Yeah.
But you sort of see it coming because they're building to it.
You were also a little scared when the music started at the very beginning.
Oh my God.
I made sure to note that.
That's not
but
there.
Yeah, this was, but, and it's out of nowhere.
That's what I mean. Yeah, this is the first true, like, there's no build up. It's just immediate jump scare in your face.
And it's
it
real
really
quick,
got me.
Too.
Did I yell?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
And it looked, it reminded me of the faces in The Exorcist, like the demon face that you see, like, a reflective places, you know?
I was going to say the Thriller video, but yeah.
Oh, I got a fun fact about that. Night. But he's talking to the doctor about his dreams, and he says he'd rather not be alone. Winky blinky. Do you happen to have any nurses who I might have who are really good at feeding me things?
How funny would it have been if it had been the nurse that looked at his dick?
She just got like binoculars in her pocket or something.
That's my luck.
No, if it was your luck, it'd be one you ghosted 2 months earlier.
Did we go out 3 weeks ago?
And she's like, yeah, I'll get you a new nurse.
Yeah. Okay, because after he's ogling her after sneakily waking up, he says, you're a very beautiful girl.
Yeah.
And this is the beginning of what I think is kind of awkward dialogue.
I think a lot of the dialogue in this is a little awkward.
Yeah.
They're love dialogue. But you know what? He's kind of awkward, and then obviously she's kind of awkward, so I just kind of took it as that, because he was like, I think you're really beautiful, and she's like, I think you're really attractive and also sad.
That is true. That's not when she says it.
Yeah, but she does say that. Yeah.
She says it more than once.
She does, yeah. She feels sorry for him.
But the first time she says it is back at her place right before they smash.
Yeah. He's like, he just can't resist that kind of sexy talk.
No, he's not like, ooh, you think I'm sad? Wait till you see me after sex.
Oh. I really relate to this film.
I do feel like it seems like John Landis wrote this when he was 16, because the dialogue is not great. He wrote it when he was 19. Uh-huh. Holy
that
shit.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Well, you said 16, but close.
Well, it's because I'm dyslexic. The six, like,
it
was droopy.
That's
so, like, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The six is the nine.
Nice.
Yeah.
God. Jen, you
speaking
get
of
it?
Things that got written when people were 16.
I love you, Mikey. Okay. What do we see now, Jen?
We see the Muppet Show.
Oh yeah.
And we hear Frank Oz's voice as Piggy.
Oh yes.
And so we kind of, it's a little confusing how it happens, because we see somebody watching the Muppet Show, and then it's like a boy and a girl, and then we see David in his home with what looks like his family.
Yeah, it is.
So, and now we realize that he's dreaming, because they hear a ding dong on the they hear a doorbell, and the dad answers the door and gets shot to death by a Nazi wolf.
Yeah,
monster.
Nazi werewolves. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they come in and they just mow down his whole family.
Yeah, and then at the very end of that dream, or is it, they shoot up a menorah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. And they light the house on fire.
So
I'm going to link this, because I read a really interesting article about this, about how this is kind of a Jewish allegory, and I have a quote specifically about this one part. And it says, it gets right to the heart of modern post-Holocaust Judaism. It embodies this primal fear that our new Western society could turn on us interlopers at any moment, systematically destroying us like animals while hatefully spitting on our culture. This is referencing something that happens in The Wolfman that I can't exactly remember what it is, but I'll link the article to this. But I think there's, like, anytime there's a werewolf movie, or anytime there's a werewolf story, I think there's a part of, like, there's a beast within us and we're afraid of what we will become, and we can't control ourselves when we, like, unleash the beast inside of us. And I think The Wolfman was written in during World War II. And there's an element of, like, they're saying the person who wrote The Wolfman was watching his German neighbors turn into monsters seemingly overnight. And so that's kind of what he saw with The Wolfman.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So I think there's, you could read this as a Jewish allegory. I also think there's an element of, if you were in Nazi Germany as a Jew and trying to hide, I could see the parallel between knowing that you might be a werewolf and found out and, you know, at any moment. Or if you're a Nazi, like, just seeing people turn into monsters outside of their control. Like, if they're not members of the SS, they just live in Germany and get drafted into the army, like, you might turn into a monster. I don't know how well I'm saying this. I am not
Jewish. No. I get what you're saying.
But I will link this these articles, because I thought they were really interesting. And it was a way to read it that it's not something I'm going to see. So he gets his throat slit at the end of this dream.
Yeah, after watching his family get destroyed and house set on fire and menorah shot up.
Right. Yeah. Fun fact, the wolf that actually slits his throat is Rick Baker, who did the special effects for this movie.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, nice.
Well, and so then we think that the dream is over, but we learn this was the inspiration for Inception.
Yes.
Because he wakes up, he's still in the dream because Alex gets stabbed by a wolf Nazi who was behind him the whole time.
Right. And she's actually just opening the curtain.
Right.
And he was behind the curtain. Mm-hmm. That scared the shit out of me.
I know, when I turn the recorder off right before because I forgot.
Do you guys have really vivid nightmares and dreams?
I do sometimes. But can you guys stop your nightmares?
No, no.
I don't have nightmares very often. Usually they're like if I've got a lot of stress going on.
I haven't had a dream in like 21 years.
Really?
Yeah.
So he wakes up from his terrible, horrible, no good, bad dream and Jack's there. I like
terrible,
that
horrible, no good, very bad dame.
So he wakes up from his terrible, horrible, no good, very bad dream.
Right.
And Jack's there. But wait, I thought Jack was dead.
Why does Jack look like that?
Why has he got blood all over himself and like hanging flesh on him?
It looks really good. Rick Baker did an amazing job.
He really did. Yeah. Fun fact, he won the first ever competitive Oscar for makeup in a movie.
Oh, that's cool.
For this one?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
So Jack looks real dead and he's like, zombie exposition dump.
Yep.
He's like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
You're a werewolf. Mm-hmm. The people you kill become ghosts that haunt you.
Yeah.
Until you're dead. So I need you to kill yourself.
And not just ghosts that haunt you, ghosts that are doomed to like wander the earth now.
Yep.
But they're wandering real close to him. Like if they were wandering the whole earth, I'd be fine with this curse.
But he's a human that can see them.
Yeah,
also, talking to corpses is real boring.
I really liked when Jack was like, do you know what it's like to talk to a corpse? Because
he was talking to a corpse.
He should have been like, yeah. I'm doing it right now, Jack.
Yeah, I know
it's
what it's
not
like.
Not great.
So, but he's saying the bloodline must be severed and the last remaining werewolf must be destroyed. And for all we know, he is the last remaining werewolf. And then he says, it's you, David. You're going to kill people and you have to take your own life before you kill other people. And to beware the moon.
So Jack just doesn't want to be in limbo anymore. But this is really starting to freak David out. And David starts to like hug the intercom call button. It's like, Nurse, who I want to bang.
And then
come
she gets there and he doesn't just hug the intercom call button anymore.
No, this is a weird time to plant a kiss on somebody.
Yeah.
You just saw your dead best friend who you watched get murdered, had a conversation with him. You called in the hot nurse you have a crush on. And instead of like seeking comfort and solace, you seek a kiss.
Yeah. Counterpoint.
Wait, seek a kiss?
Steal a kiss.
Take a kiss.
She was in bed.
Yeah.
I have been kissed when I was really sad and it was very helpful.
Oh, your mom is so sweet.
No.
Oh, my bad.
No, that was your mom.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim. Yes. Because it was with tongue.
Ooh,
how dare you talk about Melody like that?
Oh, I'm sorry, Melody. All right. So now
doesn't listen. She hates scary movies more than I do.
But now he's telling her what's happening. And he says he just saw Jack. And hey, did you see him? He's got his skin all hanging off. And she said, you're going to be discharged tomorrow. Because Jack had just said that he was going to become a werewolf in 2 days, because now we know when the full moon's happening.
Yeah, he's telling the nurse all this, and he's like, am I crazy? Because I think I'm going to be a werewolf in 2 days, and I'm seeing my dead friend. And she's like, a little.
Yeah, well, she's like, just don't worry about it. Listen, why don't you just leave tomorrow?
And then come stay at my place.
Yeah, just stay at my place. Because, listen, I haven't been digged down in a while, and I kind of want that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she just liked him.
Well, and he makes her a little sad, too, so, you know.
She's really turned on by both attractive and sad dudes. Mm-hmm. So, Mikey, looks like you've got a chance.
Yes.
It's complicated. You can feel more than one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
Oh, I get it.
Hey, welcome back.
Welcome to the conversation.
You guys steal my jokes.
All right. So now we have this weird montage of them going to the store and her talking about inflation.
And how expensive things are.
Right.
That is an indictment of Margaret Thatcher's policies early 80s. Yeah. Definitely an indictment.
How does British Parliament work?
It's awesome. They're not allowed to like clap, so they only yell. It's just a bunch of old. Yeah, like that's why they yell at each other.
Dude,
it's the best.
And the guy has the weirdest voice. He's like, order! Order!
That's just an English accent.
Yeah, you're making fun of someone who had serious throat cancer.
So anyway, they're in a train. This is a cute. And they're like, there's a bunch of them like 80s punk kids. And
I really like how colorful their hair is too.
Yeah, I loved it.
And it's cute. This is another cute scene.
They have a lot of chemistry.
Yeah.
They do. Yeah. Have a lot of chemistry before they start having sex. During sex, it seems like they do not like each other very much.
She's only been with 7 people and he's been in a coma. So it's not going to be like a natural progression.
I kind of want the person I'm having sex with to at least appear like they're enjoying having sex with me.
Right. So then they get to her house and she's showing them all around. And
we literally go on a tour of the entire place. Mm-hmm. This is something we would not do in today's movies. Because today's audiences are like, what the fuck are we doing?
Alex Price, the nurse, this is her like big moment where she hits on him. I've had 7 sexual partners.
Yeah.
3 were one night stands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you're really attractive.
And a little sad.
And a little sad.
And I don't usually bring home stray American men.
British dudes all the time.
Right, yeah.
Not Americans.
Right. Also, would you like to watch telly while I go take a shower?
Winky blinky. And then he's like, no. And then they're in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
But listen.
Now, this is their mistake.
Well, I don't think it's a mistake. I don't think they have sex in the shower. And if I was Alex Price, I would want to make sure the dude who has been laying in the same bed for over 3 weeks showers off before I put any part of him in me.
I think she sponge bathed him before this.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't think she did. I think the other nurse did. Mm-hmm.
They just have a weird chemistry in the shower.
Anytime they're naked together.
Yep.
Yeah.
Visibly looked freezing in the shower.
They did. I mean, it's England. It's cold.
They don't have hot water there.
Oh! Well, I'll be honest with you. When I was there, they had plenty of hot water.
When I was there. Well, did you use it all?
I'm so sorry, UK. I'm so sorry, England.
So the thing is, she got in the shower and he flushed. He went to the bathroom and flushed before he fucked it up.
And that's why she's mad, and that's why he has to go down on her later.
Absolutely.
I think he volunteered.
It's like a 10-minute lovemaking scene.
It is.
Yeah.
It's almost like the person who wrote this movie is 19 years old.
And there's no thrusting or anything. They're just like two naked people laying on top of each other.
Yeah, it is
British
like
style. Sorry. So they're cuddling in bed afterwards, and he's being real romantic and asking if she's seen the Wolfman and saying, if I turn into a monster, someone who loves me is going to have to kill me, which is just real romantic after your first time.
I thought this was foreshadowing for the end.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Well, she doesn't kill him.
That's what I mean.
Was that cop at the end in love with him? It cuts back to him at the end, just single tear on the cop's face.
I think she's foreshadowing. Kill him, no, she doesn't, because she doesn't really love him.
Oh! Guys, we'll get there.
Yeah, we will.
He does say he loves her like in 4 days.
Mikey, this is your problem.
What? This is not my problem.
No, your problem is that you reel him in and you'll say whatever it takes.
That's not true.
And then when they're ready to commit, you're like, I gotta go, buddy.
I'm a wolf man. It's been 4 weeks. The full moon is out. I've werewolfed you. Bye. It's my werewolf ghosting cycle.
So now we see beep beep, there's a car on the moors, and it's
Oh my god, I forgot about this whole
thing. Call him Dr. Loomis.
Yeah, Dr. Wolf Loomis,
who like obviously lives alone, has no friends, no hobbies, no interests.
He's a real busybody.
Is in love with David.
No, is in love with the nurse.
Yeah, maybe.
He's definitely in love with that nurse.
So he's driving because he's just can't get this out of his head. So he's driving to the slaughtered lamb and asking what happened with the two boys.
Would you ever? People are too lazy to do stuff that they would do.
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't even call them. But I'll say this. I don't think anyone would do this until after the first murders. I think after the first murders, maybe.
No, not even.
So he's walking in and this pub is just the same old dick pub. Like they're just being dicks.
That is a woman's take on a pub.
Yeah. A dick pub is something very different over there, guys.
Sorry, I mispronounced.
If you're a one bar town, like Jen says, you just go to your same old dick pub.
Yeah.
Woo! All right. But so he walks in, but here's the thing. Like they were dicks to him, I think, because he's an outsider.
So yeah, they're just dicks to anyone who's not from their town.
Right.
Because they know they can't be open and honest with them.
Right.
So they have to be like lying to everybody.
I mean, in his defense, he's like the Americans. He didn't slide it in very easily.
He didn't do what?
Yeah. Let me tell you about this.
Oh my God.
Geez.
He orders a beer. He's like, cheers, mates. Sips the beer. And he's like, what about those kids who got murdered last week?
Yeah.
And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Are you a cop? And he's like, no, of course not. I'm a doctor.
You have to tell me if you're a cop.
It's entrapment.
And he asks about the pentagram too. And she said, that pentagram's been there for 200 years.
Which pisses me off because they could have just said that to the kids in the first scene and been done with it.
Except it's a lie.
Doesn't the guy who was playing darts in the first scene like sort of like lose his shit? He's like, I'm gonna go check on the dogs.
Yeah.
And then the bald head guy's like, the dogs are fine. He goes, I'm gonna go check.
Because the doctor's been saying that David was asking about werewolves. So he's not trying to be smooth at all. So he just decides to leave, and it's raining when he goes to his car, and then he looks over.
Yeah,
and
there's a lurker at the church.
Yeah, and you yelled about it a couple of times, but yeah, I didn't like, see him. Yeah.
You didn't see him?
Well, I did after you yelled about it.
Yeah.
But then I saw him. Yeah.
It was very clear.
And he's standing in the cemetery wanting totally normally to talk to Dr. Loomis.
This is the weirdest scene because Loomis like looms up on
this
guy. And he just goes, hello.
Hello.
And then the dude waits conservatively 5 seconds, which doesn't sound like a long time, but like it's a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, ladies.
And then he starts.
Oh, jeez. Not that long, ladies.
No, it's not. Dart throwing guy starts spilling the beans about the town.
Yeah.
And it's like there's werewolves in them hills or whatever.
And your boy's in danger.
Your boy. And then the bald head guy's like, that's enough. Yeah. Shut your mouth. No, he's yelling at him. It's very un-Britainly.
And the doctor's like, I think I'm just going to head out because this is just.
Yeah, this is weird.
Real
weird.
Are there no other women in this town?
This town sucks. I'm out.
This is a dick town, not just a dick pub. Okay, so now it's the next day and Alex has to go to work. And so David is being a gentleman and walking her out.
Without shoes or socks.
Without shoes, yeah.
Or socks.
He's just going to walk back in and track all that mud all over her apartment with his
bare
feet.
He's trying to be sweet and kiss her off for work. That's nice.
Yeah, but he gets locked out.
Because he's an idiot.
And he sees, and a couple of dogs bark at him.
One dog and a cat.
Yeah. He opens the window and very easily breaks into her apartment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is concerning. But
it was a different time, man. Yeah, it's a different time.
And so he's watching the darts championship on this TV and way too close to the screen.
Oh, then
Nina Carter's top model show comes on and she's talking about nude pictures. And we see a show for called The Naked Truth with Naughty Nina, which is just another one of those. Is this what Britain was like in 1981?
It is if it was written by a 19-year-old.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
He's not from England.
Anyway, so he then goes into the front room and it starts this long montage of nothing.
Yeah, pacing around.
Where it's just him bored. Like, I get the point they're trying to make, but it goes on way too long.
No. All right, so now we get the transformation scene.
This was insane.
Yeah,
it's
it is
so
insane.
Good for 81.
It was cool. It was really cool.
It is,
cool.
Yeah. And I have some fun facts about it, but it's all practical effects. They worked
it
for like months about on this.
Oh, man, it's so good.
Besides The Thing, this is the best practical effects movie I think we've seen.
And this is like earlier than The Thing, too.
It is.
So
mm-hmm.
It's so good.
Yeah, and I like that Blue Moon is playing because it's just kind of this weird note of this is a horrific thing that's happening, but it's like being presented in this lighthearted way that I think kind of takes the edge off of it a little bit.
Yeah, the juxtaposition of that is fun, though.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
but and the special effects are amazing.
But so he's turning into a werewolf right in front of us. And
we see the hands elongate. We see like the ankle, the feet, and the ankles and sort of change.
Yeah,
and
the
face elongates.
His hair's like starting to grow out.
Yeah,
it's just a really long and cool scene to watch all parts of him turn into a werewolf.
Yeah, I'm sure people have seen this. I honestly think I may have seen parts of this, like in like GIFs and stuff, you know, because it's so iconic.
So now we cut to a couple on a date, and they're going behind the house to try to scare someone.
Can we at least point out that we're in London, and they have found the woods?
The biggest backyard in all of London. They're like drinking. They're like, chip, chip, cheerio.
Chip, chip, cheerio. Well, because there's a couple inside that's throwing a dinner party, and then outside couple who's about to wander in and try to scare them for the dinner party.
Yeah.
But the
Which is
joke,
kind of a dick move, I think.
It is. But they get what's coming to them.
They do. They get torn apart by a werewolf. And the couple inside is hearing the howling.
And they're like, there must be some soccer hooligans out there.
Yeah.
And the wife's like, hey, go check it out. And he like takes his bourbon and goes outside.
He does. Yes,
and wanders into the woods, which is next to his house in London. So in between original couple getting ripped apart and bourbon and scotch man getting sent out to die by his wife, we see the doctor calling Alex. So as bourbon holding husband is wandering around, he like slips on the hand of his best friend.
Yeah, the severed hand of his best friend. Yeah.
And the dinner party's over.
Yeah. Well, he becomes the dinner party.
He does. Does he get eaten too?
Yes, he gets murdered.
No, he doesn't get murdered.
No, he does.
No, he just discovers the body. Because the next person gets murdered is on the subway.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But now the doctor is on the case.
Well, he's been on the case for a little while. Yeah, he's calling Alex. He calls Alex.
There's shadiness around this. The wounds were dressed, but I was supposed to be the first doctor. Basically, the pub people are lying because it's a dick pub.
I don't believe there are witnesses. Where is David?
Well, and he's saying this is a mass hypnosis. Like, I don't think he actually believes this is werewolves. I don't think he does either. Like, David is going to have this delusion that he's a werewolf, and that's how he's going to hurt people or himself.
Right.
Because he's going to think he's a werewolf, so we have to find
him. Just the logical conclusion.
I would think that over he's an actual werewolf.
I mean, I get that. Yeah. But I wouldn't show up to town and have, like, a creepy bar and be like, hey, Alex, there's a mass psychosis in the town.
Yeah. Oh, I would 1,000% call Alex and be like, your boyfriend's a werewolf. We have to kill him right now.
Right.
No, I'd just be like, your boyfriend was probably attacked. He's probably got some issues. You might want to check him out.
So now we see three homeless gentlemen. I assume that they're homeless.
They were homeless. They were standing by a burn barrel. Nice. They had a puppy. Not a puppy. It was a full-grown dog. But, you know, I call them all puppies because they're adorable. And it was barking like something was going on. And one of them was like, let the dog go. And it's like, fuck you guys, I'm out.
Which is, no, you're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And it runs away. And then they talk a little bit about, again, how bad trickle-down economics has fucked them. Margaret Thatcher, not great. Tories, boo. And then they get eaten by the werewolf. We don't see it, though. We just see a jump scare of his face, which also scared me a little bit.
And we hear some howling, I think, too.
Well, they hear howling.
And that's cuts to the face of the wolf.
Yeah, and that cut is what scared me. Because it's sort of out of nowhere, even though you expect something. It's just really fast and, like, big.
But I think the jump scares are pretty effective here because I think they're just so out of nowhere and in your, and you're actually seeing the wolf face too.
Yeah.
So the next thing that happens is we're in the subway.
This guy gets off the subway. He's the only one that gets off at that stop. And then he starts to hear growling or whatever. And
he's got an umbrella though.
He has what I would call the UK armor. He's got an umbrella. Doesn't use it though. Mm-hmm. I like this part because up till this point, I thought we were never going to see the wolf, like, in action. Because it was all just, like, quick jump scares of the face.
Uh-huh.
And then in this scene, we don't see it initially. We see him sort of running and then wolf POV. And then eventually, he runs up the escalator, falls onto the escalator, and starts moving it up. And that scene where the wolf walks out as he's on the escalator was very cool.
It really was. And he's just walking up to him onto the... And we see his point of view shot getting closer and closer and closer. And when you see the wolf, it looks like a big, scary wolf. Yeah,
it looks real good.
Yeah. What I like about this is that it's low to the ground, like a giant dog, like an actual wolf.
Well, apparently he and Rick Baker had an argument about whether it would be on all fours or whether it would be two legs.
Well, I think the all fours works better.
Me too. I think it does work
because I've seen
better.
Other werewolf movies where it's like walking. And I think it looks dumb.
Like the Harry Potter Lupin werewolf, which I'm fine with, but I prefer all fours, like more like a black shuck. Too. Yeah, get him there and just straddle it.
Yeah.
Go to town.
Yeah.
Yeah. That escalated quickly.
Yeah. Speaking of escalators. Oh. All right. So, Escalator Man dies tragically, and it's really sad.
And then we see more dick
as he wakes
up in the wolf pen.
Mm-hmm. And he was actually naked in that wolf pen with real wolves. I mean, he climbs out of there pretty quick.
He Tarzans out of there.
Which, to be fair, if you're afraid a wolf is about to bite your balls off, that's motivation to get out of there quickly.
So. It is. And he moves quickly.
Yeah.
And then he climbs into a bush.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not like this scene.
This was really weird. Very...
So a little boy walks by with balloons. He's like, little boy, come to the bush. I'm the balloon thief. And I was like, I don't like this scene.
That's not what he says, though.
It's just as creepy.
I'll give you 2 pennies for your balloons.
No, that's much better. No, he does say he's the balloon thief. And he's like, well, why would you pay me money if you're the balloon thief?
Right. Yeah. Also, why are you telling me you're a balloon thief? Shouldn't you just steal the
balloons?
Also,
why are you naked in a bush talking to a 12-year-old?
And it is really funny because all you see is the bush and you hear his voice. And it's very...
Until he climbs out of the bush, walks around completely exposed. Exposes himself to the 12-year-old boy and steals his balloons.
And naked the whole time.
Is that legal in the UK?
It's 100% legal.
and encouraged.
Only if you steal balloons.
And wear a fancy red coat.
Well, you have to steal that too. I did like that scene because it's like an old couple on a bench and you just see this naked dude run by and steal her jacket. So anyway, so he finds this jacket and then he goes to the bus stop. I don't know how he rides the bus. He's naked. He has no money.
Maybe he like was like, hey, give me a dollar. I'll let you see what's under this coat.
Now he gets home with his red coat on and he tells her that he's losing his mind because he woke up naked in the zoo and he doesn't remember anything past getting locked out and reading and just pacing around endlessly while a song played.
Right. And he's like feeling great, loving it, very handsy with his girl, with Alex.
Yeah. Yeah. But the doctor is called and said, you need to get him to the hospital immediately.
Dr. Cockblock strikes again.
Yeah.
And he's like, is he there? Yes, he's there. Yeah. Right.
And he says, I feel great. I want to have a quickie. But she says, no, we got to get to the hospital.
Well, yeah, they're taking a taxi to the hospital.
Right. And so they're in the taxi and the cab driver is talking about the Demon Barber of Fleet Street and how there were terrible murders and they're all handsy in the background and then the boner just dies real hard.
Oh yeah, like, it wilts. And he's like, stop the truck, the trolley, the taxi.
And he tactical rolls through a million pigeons into Trafalgar Square.
Yeah, and then he starts to verbally abuse a cop because he's trying to get arrested and he can't get arrested. He walks up to this cop and he's like, hey, I murdered 6 people last night. And the cop's like, move along.
Yeah. This must be a prank.
Oh my God.
We knew it was the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. He's like, not him.
He's like, what the fuck? Arrest me. He's like, no cussing. So he's like, fuck shit.
Yeah.
No, the cop doesn't care until he's like, Winston Churchill was full of shit or whatever. And the cop's like, hang on a tick.
Governor? And I think he yells something about Prince Charles and Lady Diana, too.
Yeah, and then he goes, pip, pip, cheerio, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Hold on, pip, pip, cheerio.
Any more like that, I'm going to arrest you. And he's like, really? And he's like, no, move along.
Move along, pip, pip, cheerio. But now he's got to try to run away because Alex is not safe with him anymore. And he says, I loved this because he says, I love you. And she says, what? We've only had sex once.
Yeah.
And you're woke up naked in a zoo this morning. Now is not the time.
I like this dude. He's like, I love you. I got to go. We can never see each other again.
It's not safe to be around me.
It's not safe to be around me.
It's not you. It's me.
Bye. Werewolf. On to the next one.
I've heard of catfishing. I've never heard of werewolfing. And I think it should be a thing.
What is it when you...
It's after a one-night stand. It's a one-month relationship. You tell her you love her. And then you're like, but
you're not safe to be around.
But I'm not safe to.
I'm going to hurt you. I have to go.
Right.
But I love you.
Yeah. Yes.
So now David is in the phone box.
He is. No, he's calling his family.
He is calling. And this is interesting because they use a real number. And this is one of the few movies where it's not 555.
Yeah, it's because it was before that.
Was it?
Yeah.
When was the first of that? Do you know?
867-5309.
Yep.
Oh, that year?
Tommy Two Tone. Mm. I don't know when that song came out, but that's what caused it. And it was mid-80s, I think. It wasn't early 80s, yeah.
So David is in the phone box calling his mom.
Yes.
And talking.
But doesn't get a hold of his mom.
Yes, he gets a hold of Rachel, his little sister.
Right.
And
he's 10 and a half.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But because his mom and his dad aren't home and he's having this sweet conversation and it's clear she just doesn't kind of grasp the gravity. And he's saying goodbye and he's saying, tell everyone in the family that I love them.
Yeah. Mm.
Fun fact, Rachel and Max are the two kids he's talking about and those are the names of John Landis's children. And so now he's trying to cut his wrist, too.
He does get his pocket knife out, and he puts the knife on his wrist, but he doesn't do it. Because he looks up, and he's like, whoa, porn theater, let's go check it out.
No, he sees his decaying friend outside the porn theater and says, whoa, decaying friend outside of porn theater, let's go check it out.
What do I like to do with friends more than go to a porn theater?
Winky blanky.
That's on the nose. You don't have to winky blanky that.
My bad. Anyway,
you see a zombie waving him into him. And I was like, oh, it's the movie with all the posters from the background.
Right. See you next Wednesday. That's the title of the movie. Yeah.
No shit.
Love this porno in the background because
I bet you do.
It's just a pornography of people interrupting them having sex.
It is.
They get interrupted British.
5 or 6 times.
Excuse me. I told you guys not to do that. Can you not do that?
Do you think he planned all those interruptions so he'd last longer?
Yes. So he goes into this porn theater that his buddy Jack is calling him into.
Yeah.
Ooh, Jack in a porn theater. Ooh. That sounds like a dangerous combination.
And it's real sad. Is that what porn theaters were like?
I don't know.
The internet's always existed since I've been sexually aware. So he goes in there. Jack waves him to the back of the audience, and he goes and sits down next to Jack. And then Jack is introducing him to all the people he murdered the night before.
And they're all bloody like Jack was. Okay, so they're talking in the back row, and they're just porn on the whole time. And he's introducing him. First, he introduces him to the subway man who got killed. And he says he was a victim of his carnivorous lunar activities. And I thought that was funny phrasing.
And then,
Meet everyone in this scene.
Yeah.
He probably tells Jack, he's like, "You were right, bro. I should be dead. Right. I killed all those people."
Yeah, I feel bad.
But we also meet the two partygoers, and we meet the three homeless dudes. All six of them are there.
The two partygoers are actually pretty nice to him.
Yeah, they're super sweet. They're trying to find painless ways for him to kill himself.
Yeah.
And this was a
weird scene.
It was a weird scene. I could imagine this being pretty triggering.
Was it?
People.
It was like seven people like, "You should kill yourself," and then brainstorming ideas for him to do it.
All while porn is being moaned at you from the front of the theater.
Not just regular porn. Every 2 minutes, a person would stop them from having sex. They'd be like, "You have a phone call." And they're like, "Can you stop interrupting us?"
Yeah. It's interruption porn. Okay. So they're talking about ways for him to kill himself. And then we see outside that it's now nighttime. And so he starts changing in the porn theater, which I think is kind of funny because he could just look like he's really enjoying the movie.
There is a really creepy dude staring at him right before he starts to change.
Who's not an employee.
No,
he's like sweating and like bouncing around, and like
real nervous.
Totally Pee Wee Hermaning it.
He has like found the magic word, and he's shaking the chair in front of him.
Jerry,
yeah. And the guy next to him is just like staring at him. Or not next to him, but he's like standing in the aisle staring at him.
There's a giant couch trying to eat him down the
aisle.
He's
like dips.
And you see his hand grow.
Yeah.
And
then
you don't really see near as much as you did in the first transformation scene.
No,
because it's sort of yada yada past it. Yeah. But you know he's changing.
Yeah. That poor guy in the front row.
Oh, yeah.
He's almost done. I was like, "Woo!" You're like, "What?"
Yeah, nothing kills the final act like
getting mauled to death by a werewolf.
Right.
He's lucky that he dies this night, or one of his ghosts would be like a guy's like, "I was masturbating and you killed me. This is my dick that's out."
Like he's just hard the whole time for all of eternity.
Right.
Yeah. Now somebody's running out of the theater and letting the woman who sells tickets know that there's a wolf.
Yes.
I guess it was creepy man who was staring.
He's like, "There's a beast in there."
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she sends the usher. How bad is your life that you're a porn usher? Anyway, so the usher goes down there and he gets attacked by the thing.
He does.
And then
it
cuts to the outside again and you see the ticket taker like screaming and these two cops roll
bobbies.
Up on her. Yeah, bobbies. That's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them goes down there with a flashlight and sees a bunch of dead bodies and is like, interesting.
Popcorn?
Let's see. Yeah. There's popcorn all over the body.
Yeah.
And then he just
slowly moves his flashlight up.
To be fair, he's really into interruption porn.
Yeah.
So, and this is like one of the few times he can watch it without having to buy a ticket.
Without being interrupted?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's very meta to interrupt other people's interruption porn.
It is, yeah.
But he doesn't immediately leave. Like if I saw a dead body anywhere, I would run.
Yeah. Somebody does run outside and closes the steel.
It's this officer. He sees the wolf and he's like, "Oh, shit, there is a beast." And he runs and shuts the screen.
Mm-hmm. Because there have just been six people murdered the night before by some kind of barber wolf of Fleet Street or something.
Right.
So he knows what's going on. And so he closes the metal door in front.
It's like a metal grate you would see at a mall, but it's not see-through.
Yeah, they blow their whistle and apparently 20 more bobbies appear out of nowhere.
Have you noticed that whenever cops rush anywhere, also everyone in London rushes over?
Yeah, because there's like a riot outside.
Yeah, there's a sale in that porn theater.
Yeah, they got to get in to see the wolf.
Oh, my God. Interruption porn.
Oh, yeah.
I got to
interrupt, too.
So, anyway, cops start coming over, helping kind of hold the grate or the barricade door thing. And then eventually, like, the Scotland Yard cops come up and start walking over. And then the second the main Scotland Yard cop gets within biting range, the werewolf pops through that grate thing and bites his neck and his head goes rolling down the wall.
Bouncing onto
the street. Or down the street. Yeah.
And this starts a weird chain of events in Piccadilly Circus.
This thing is insane.
Mm-hmm.
So the wolf starts attacking other officers and running.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it starts a chain reaction of like horrific car wrecks. Not just cars fender bending. Like people flying out windshields, getting pinned between cars.
One guy getting rapidly run over. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
It's, dude, it's, the guy who got squished in between two cars.
Mm-hmm.
How did they do that? about killing him.
It showed us like 8
him.
People getting killed with car wrecks.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And that's nothing to do with the wolf.
Yeah.
It's just the car massacre. It's so Carmageddon in Piccadilly Circus.
It is.
So the cops split up. Like half the cops chase the wolf. Half the cops split up with like 19 cars that are wrecked in Piccadilly Circus.
And the other half get murdered under cars.
Right. That's 3 halves, guys. We got to lock up the math here.
One thirds.
It's the metric system, Todd. It's
That checks out. Yeah. That checks out. Okay. Anyway, so the other cops. Oh, wait. Don't we see like a montage of like SWAT cops loading rifle bullets in the clips in the van?
None of the bobbies have guns. They're just chasing the wolf with their bare hands.
But it's like the British SWAT cops, so it looks like Illuminati or something.
It does look like that, yeah.
And they're loading their like silver bullets or whatever. I don't know. Maybe it's the werewolf SWAT.
No, in this movie, they can just be killed with regular bullets.
Yeah, it's not silver bullets.
So it's not much of a
joke. They actually make that joke, though.
Do they?
Well, not the cops. I think... David makes the joke.
Yeah, like, do I need silver bullets to kill myself?
And then, you just need love.
Oh my God. Anyway. So then he runs down like an alleyway where they trap him, and like all the cops are there with their guns. Mm-hmm. And this whole time, Alex, the love interest, is trying to get to him
because the Dr. Loomis called and said there's a disturbance in Piccadilly Circus.
They raced there for some reason.
Yeah.
Right.
And then she breaks through the line of like
police officer SWAT team.
SWAT team with guns. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I slept with him once.
Yeah.
And they're like, you fucked him.
He's got some stuff in a drawer in my house.
Yeah. The sergeant was like, we got a stage 5 clinger over here.
Absolutely. And then she walks halfway down the alley, sees him. And he like, you know, well, not until she says, I love you.
Uh-huh.
And then
I can help you.
No, I can fix you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Women, you can't fix him.
Fix a guy who's werewolfing you.
No, you cannot. So he starts to lunge at her because when she's ready to commit, that's when Mikey is like, I'm out.
That's when the teeth come out. And then they shoot him. And then we see her crying and we see his naked body with blood and bullets on it.
Yeah. And then.
Anyway, the movie ends.
Yeah, roll credits. It's a real weird ending.
I was waiting for somebody to start singing with me.
I like the movie.
Yeah.
I don't like the pacing because I feel like the movie doesn't take off until he starts killing people during the full moon.
Right.
And that's only like the last 20 minutes of the movie.
Both nights.
An hour setting up the last 20 minutes.
Right.
And it's not like the pacing is all off.
But you love the meet cute with the nurse and all that stuff.
I did, but like the doctor going back to the village, there's like a lot of scenes that are necessary. The kid with the balloons. It makes the first half of the movie super long.
Yeah. Will admit that you do not need the Scotland Yard cops. You can still have the Scotland Yard cop die at the end.
Yeah.
You don't need to know who he is.
Yes.
He doesn't do anything else except for die.
They interview the doctor without David in the room for like 10 minutes in the movie.
Yeah.
In the doctor's office. Unnecessarily.
Yeah, completely. I would have cut some of that stuff out. I like a lot of the stuff at the beginning of the movie, though. Like, my favorite part is when they're on the moors and they get they get attacked for the first time.
Yeah. I like that because you want to start slow and build the tension.
And but I like the part in the subway, too.
Yeah, no, that part's great. That's what I'm saying. That's when the movie starts. Like, when he starts murdering people, like, the movie gets good.
Pacing didn't bother me, and I actually think it's pretty much, there's action stuff spaced out throughout the movie. I think there's just some, like, the tone is a little abrupt, and I also think some of the humor just has not aged that well. Not necessarily that it's problematic. I just think that some of the dialogue is dated and it's just, I don't know. But I liked it better than I did the first time when I watched it now, you know?
Yeah, this is the first time I've seen it and I don't know. I don't like any of these movies really, but I can see that this is a great movie, especially for when it came out. Like, the effects are amazing and honestly, movies in the 80s and 70s, this is like early 80s, so it's of that same era, are just not great. Like, we remember all the great movies from that time. There were a lot of really bad movies from that time. And I think this is one of the great ones from that time.
I think the movie holds up. I have pacing problems, but I did like the movie.
Yeah. The only reason I didn't like this movie was because of the jump scare stuff. And a lot of the jump scares in this, I would call cheap jump scares because they're literally sort of out of nowhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The ones that build up to it, like the one at the beginning with the one where Jack gets killed, I didn't like it. But you sort of see it coming, like it's not so abrupt. That's fine. But like the ones in the dreams, I hate those kind of jump scares, man.
See, and when I think about cheap jump scares, what I think about is when it turns out to be like a cat or something. Like what I liked about these jump scares are where they were the actual monster.
But yeah, anyway. But I do see that it's a great movie. I understand why people like it. Mm-hmm. I would probably watch this again if my friends wanted to watch it.
I did enjoy it.
I wouldn't watch it by myself though. But I mean, it's decent. Oh, I guess her numbers go up to 8 with 4 being one night stands.
Mm. He stayed the whole week.
They only had sex once. Okay. So let's do some box office.
So
what do you think the budget for this movie was?
It had to be pretty high because of the
$12 million.
Oh, yeah? $50 million.
$12 million. This is in 81, probably filmed in 80.
So $100 million.
Oh my God. You're going the wrong way.
I'm winning this time.
Yeah, you definitely are. Although you're over. So Price is Right rules,
bing!
You're out.
$1.
All right, so Jen wins because it was $5.8 million, which is still really like...
Well, in 1981, that was $57 billion.
Well, I mean, in 81, that's a good amount of money. It's a pretty big budget. So how much do you think it made worldwide?
$86 million.
Okay.
$50 million.
You're closer, Jen. It's $61.9 million.
And it didn't go over.
Which is still a shitload of money. Like, that's a really good opening for a $5 or $6 million movie now.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really, really good return on investment.
And it still continues to do well, you know?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. So, do you have any fun facts for us, Jen?
I've got a lot. So...
Hit us with your fun facts.
The two male leads in this movie are David Naughton, and he got this job because he had just done the Dr. Pepper commercial. Do you remember that?
Really?
I'm a pepper, you're a pepper?
No.
Yeah, I'll link it.
I only remember that from Short Circuit. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too?
Yeah, that was him. And how he got this job.
Okay.
Griffin Dunn plays Jack, and his sister is Dominique Dunn, who was the older sister in Poltergeist.
Oh,
who
okay.
was tragically murdered. And that's a sad fun fact.
Yeah, your fun facts are...
Oh, okay, we're back to normal fun facts.
Yeah.
So we've already said that Rick Baker won the Oscar for Best Makeup, and I will link to an article that tells more about this story, but apparently it took a long time for John Landis to get the money to do this because one person wouldn't want to buy it because it was too funny and the other person wouldn't want to buy it because it was too scary. So he had to build up enough cred in Hollywood to be able to fund this. And he had Rick Baker on planning to work with him, and he'd started to work out this werewolf stuff. And then they weren't making the movie for years and years and years. So he started working on The Howling, and The Howling came out the same. I think it was 81 too.
Oh yeah.
But it was right around the same time. Okay. And so when they finally got the money to do American Werewolf in London, he kind of farmed out the job to his protege, Rob Bottin, and he finished the effects on The Howling. And Rob Bottin, I think, did the special effects for The Thing.
Oh,
all connected. But apparently Rick Baker wanted the werewolf to be on two legs, and that's what you see in The Howling, because he had already started the design of that independent from John Landis, and John Landis was the one who wanted him to be on all fours. So this was actually shot in Piccadilly Circus. Mm-hmm. It was the first film that was allowed to shoot in Piccadilly Circus for 15 years.
Wow.
And the way they got permission to do it was he had just directed Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
And so he invited like 300 British cops, and he showed them a screening of it. And isn't there a big car chase scene in that movie?
Yes, there is.
Don't they go through a mall or something?
Yes.
I haven't seen it in a long time. They were so impressed with that they got permission to do that. And he could probably also say, hey, we didn't wreck this whole mall. Like, we can pull off a car crash scene.
There are a lot of car crashes in that scene. I mean, in both Blues Brothers and Piccadilly Circus in this. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and so they got two-night filming permit between 1 and 4 a.m. and they had to stop traffic only 3 times for 2 minutes at a time to do the stunts and the stuff with the double-decker bus.
All right, cool.
The scene where they were getting where Jack got mauled by the werewolf was filmed outside of Windsor Castle Estates.
Really?
Yeah. And so because it was all in London, and that was I guess just the most woodsy looking place they could find, Griffin Dunn, who played Jack was talking about laughing, about wondering whether the queen could hear him screaming outside. Because it was like from 1 to 4 in the morning, because it had to be really dark.
Yeah.
So apparently there's a point when he's trying to get arrested. David uses a homophobic slur to describe Prince Charles. And to make up for that, they put in the end credits a congratulations to Prince Charles and Lady Diana, because they had either just gotten married or were about to get married.
Aww.
I know.
That's
sweet.
Super sweet.
So we had commented on some of the music in this, but every song on the soundtrack has the word moon in it or is about moons. So Blue Moon is played during the opening credits. Moon Dance is the song during their sex scene. And you kept commenting on what
it's
a
horrible.
Weird song
it's
it was
like a
for
jazz
sex
trio.
Scene.
I kept expecting to look over during the sex scene and there'd be like three dudes with like a trap set, a trumpet, and like a stand-up bass.
And they'd like interrupt you when the song was over. Yeah. Bad Moon Rising was playing, Blue Moon during the transformation, and then Blue Moon Doo-Wop at the end.
Yeah.
He tried to get the rights to Moonshadow by Cat Stevens, and Cat Stevens actually believed that werewolves and occult shit existed, and he didn't want his song to be involved in it. And I love Cat Stevens.
So well, such a weird dude.
I love him. I've got a lot of memories with Cat Stevens music.
Oh, man.
All right. So the movie See You Next Wednesday, the parody that's playing in the background, that was the first thing they shot.
Okay. I was terrified you were going to say that that's a real movie.
Well, like, and they every night they worked on the edit of it over and over again.
Oh, I bet they did.
But that does strike me as like the first thing a like 19-year-old would want to film. Yeah. Although he wasn't 19 when he did. John Landis really wanted Donald Sutherland for the main character.
Ooh, that would be good. Like early 80s Sutherland?
Yeah.
Yeah, looking more like Kiefer than the old man he is now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
They also wanted John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd to
for
Jack and David.
They wouldn't be college students anymore.
No. Well, yeah, and they wanted to go with less recognizable characters, and I think it works that they did.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't do this.
Right. I mean, it would have just been Blues Brothers with a werewolf, you know? So there was a radio adaptation of this in 1997, which sounds really interesting, and if anybody can get their hands on it, I'd love to hear it. There is a sequel to this called...
An American Werewolf in Paris.
It is, and it's got... Who's
the guy?
I hate
that you took that I knew that and used it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Todd Steele's fun fact. Tom Everett Scott is the main character. I think Mark Paul Gosselaar maybe is the friend who dies.
Zach Morris, right?
Yeah, it is Zach Morris.
Nice.
And I think the werewolf is a girl they meet in Paris.
It's Julie Delpy is the girl.
No
I don't
shit.
Know. Yeah, I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
I've not seen it since it came out in theaters.
Yeah, I haven't either. Yeah.
Julie Delpy has not been in a lot, but she's great.
Yeah, she is awesome.
Yeah.
There was rumored to be a remake of this a couple of years ago, and Max Landis was going to direct it. And not sure if that's happening anytime soon because he's in some trouble right now.
Just Google Max Landis and you'll see.
So Michael Jackson was a huge fan of this movie.
Not surprised.
Yeah. But so he was such a big fan that he asked Rick Baker to do the effects for Thriller and asked John Landis to direct Thriller. So both of them worked on Thriller also.
Hmm.
And the next movie that John Landis did was Twilight Zone, the movie. Which,
so good.
And those are my fun facts.
Well, thank you for your fun facts, Jen. Facts.
You're welcome.
Let's do Scary Scale, Jen.
Hey, listeners. Our Scary Scale is a scale we use to rank how scared we were when we watched these movies. It's not a ranking of the quality of the film. It's how scared we were tonight when we watched it. Our one example is Ghostbusters. Our 10 example is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. All right, Todd, what you got?
I will give it a 4.
Ah, nice.
There were some pretty good jump scares that really, I yelled apparently a few times.
Yeah, you did.
So I'll give it a 4. It didn't feel super scary, but I guess I did jump a few times. So
I was wondering if the transformation scene was going to make you sick, but it didn't
really at all. Yeah. No, because it's not really like grotesque.
Like
it's
gory.
Just like I was watching it like, holy shit, this is impressive.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mikey.
I give it a 1.
All right.
Wow.
I the jump scares didn't scare me. I didn't feel very
like an old pro over here.
You're just so used to werewolf and people that you're like
oh, please, this is straight out of my playbook.
Exactly.
It's full moon. Gotta go. I'm gonna hurt you. I love you, but I gotta go.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
1.
All right, I'm gonna give it a 3. I think because I really like the atmosphere when they get attacked, and there were some jump scares that I think genuinely got me.
I think if you like horror movies, you need to see this. If you haven't seen it. I think if you don't like horror movies, you can skip it. But I mean, if you like horror, this is definitely something you should see.
That's our scary scale.
What did you guys give it?
Hey guys, if you want to tell us your scary scale, join our Facebook group, because that is one of our questions of the day constantly. Yeah. What are your final thoughts and where would you put it on the scary scale?
It's not the question every day. It's just one of the questions we do during
in
the week.
In a rotation.
It's not constantly. The question.
We're always asking about that scary scale, man.
They're like, fucking, this is fucking scary.
Scary scale again.
So you guys made me watch an American Werewolf in London this week. What are you making me watch next week?
Well, Todd, we're not making you watch anything.
Uh-oh, listener request time.
It's listener request time. Hot off the presses, because we just now closed the polls for this. So our theme for September was zombie horror. And you guys chose the Dawn of the Dead 2004 remake. And I'm really excited because this movie is scary.
Is it?
Yeah. I haven't seen it in a while, but I remember being really upset by parts
I was
of
really
it.
Hoping it'd be Zombieland.
I love Zombieland too. So watch Dawn of the Dead from 2004 for next week. Thank you for everyone who participated in our listener request.
Absolutely. Thank you guys awesome. So much. Yeah. All right, guys. So we're going to read a 5-star review. If you want your 5-star review read on the podcast, leave us a 5-star review.
Yeah.
Mikey, time to practice your reading.
All right. This one does not have an accent.
Okay.
Cicerio.
Cicerio. Just read review.
Cicerio 2122.
Uh-oh.
It's taken me too long to write a review of this awesome podcast.
Aw. Don't beat yourself up, Cicerio.
Yeah, we appreciate you got it done.
We do.
But you, everyone who is a fan of horror movies, should give it a try. Whether you are a horror pro or a virgin, you'll find something to like here.
Nice.
This podcast quickly became one of my favorite parts of the week, and the host, aww, Todd, Jen, and Mikey never gail to make me laugh.
Never.
It says G-A-I-L.
Never fail.
It's probably fail. It's yeah. probably yeah. fail.
Hey, Cicero, we love you.
Who's messing with the teleprompter? Check out their great Patreon as well.
Oh, oh. Yeah, thank you. Hello.
5 stars.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much for that
lovely
so
review.
Much.
Yeah.
Cicero.
So we are a member of the Modern Horrors Podcast Network, and you guys know the deal with that. If you're listening to us in their feed, lock it up and switch over to our feed. You'll get the podcast 2 days earlier. But if you do listen to the Modern Horrors Podcast feed, you'll get their show, Death, Dying, and Other Things, and the lovely Final Girls. You can follow us at horrorvirgin.com. You can get all the blogs there, link to the merch store. You can also follow us on socials at horrorvirgin. If you want to follow Mikey, it's at mrandolph24. Jen is at Jen Verratu, and I am at Todd J. Awesome.
Awesome.
So guys, if you can help financially support the show, please do. We're currently trying to save up money to buy better mics and recording equipment. So yeah, if you can, join the Patreon at patreon.com/horrorvirgin. There are a bunch of great levels there with a bunch of great perks. Just sign up for what you want and you'll get it. But if you can't financially support the podcast, please just continue to do what you're doing. And that is telling your friends, family, and coworkers about the show, which we really appreciate. I mean, like we have grown quite a bit, and that can only be because of you guys. We don't have like a marketing budget or anything. So yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome when I hear that people like have told their friends and family about us, or somebody started listening because their brother was listening to it. You know, that's awesome.
It's awesome. Guys, please, if you can't afford to join the Patreon but want exclusive daily content, get on the Horror Virgin Facebook group. It's amazing. There's, like I said, daily exclusive content. That's not a joke. Like there's exclusive stuff there every day that you can get in on. So get in on that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, we have a lot of, like, we've been having some deep conversations about the It episode. Like we can really talk.
Good job.
Nailed it.
Hey guys, so that's gonna be it from us. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for an American Werewolf in London. So thanks so much for joining us. Yeah. I'm Jen.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm your horror virgin Todd, guys.
Sorry.
Have a great week.
Oh my God. Bye, nerds.
Bye, guys.